This is Brock and Sox. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Yes, we are brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Texter here, Matt in Oregon, says, you should tell Jerry many people consider the week they have to talk to Salk Hell Week. It's not very nice.
It's our everyday life.
Gosh.
Imagine that.
Well, I got a lot of tweets for Answer the Question Jerk today. Along the same lines as that text, we have Answer the Question Jerk. Who's more pompous, Mike Salk or the peacock that struts around the Woodland Park Zoo? Wow. I've met that peacock. Super pompous.
Was he at the book tour signing thing that you went to? Yeah.
Preening.
It's just in the back.
Just in the back, preening.
I mean, it would be a contest if you walked like Boy Howdy.
Mm.
If you added Howdy's just cocksure, shoulders back, chin up, if you had his kind of walk, you might compete.
That strut.
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking about?
That peacock. I'm not as multicolored as the peacock. Like, I can't dress like that. I don't dress with any level of pomposity or anything like that because I can't pull it off.
Great word.
Yeah.
Pomposity?
Yeah.
Pomposity.
I don't even know if it's a real word. Jerks, next question. Was there any point at which you messed up while dating your wife where you thought you lost her?
Yes.
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 Wait, what do we mean? Define lost her here.
Multiple times.
Like, well, you're on vacation and you
couldn't find her? Where'd she go?
My prank with
the underwear?
No. Oh. She was on board with that.
Oh, the other prank.
What was that scary movie back in the day? Scream?
Yeah, your Scream prank.
Oh, I can't even tell the story.
Yeah.
Because she still gets mad. My mom had to call. My mom had to smooth things over. That's how bad.
That,
yep.
That's not a good sign.
Mine
not
was May 5th. May 4th. 2000.
You remember it like an anniversary?
Yep. May 4th, 2020 or 2003.
Oh, is there a Jello story involved in this?
2002. Yeah, there's Jello shots. There was a Quattro de Mayo party, which is why I remember the date.
Got it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wasn't good. Yeah. I'm still very sorry. Mm-hmm. Jerks, I am feeling, I'm sorry, I'm turning 33 tomorrow and it's got me feeling a little bit nostalgic. Would you guys rather go back to being 33, 23, 13 or 3?
Oh my gosh, what a great question.
It's an easy question.
Easy?
It's an easy question. It better be.
Are you 33 yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I can eliminate 3 and 13 from the equation.
Oh, wow. Who would ever want to go back to being 13?
Oh, 13. No.
Being 13 is the worst.
The worst.
Justin, you're so...
I love 13.
Middle school is horrible for everyone except for the popular kid that picks on everyone else. So that must have been Justin.
No.
That was you.
That was
you were a jerk. Yep. 13, acne, 3
and 13
mullet,
are out.
Bar mitzvah, disaster.
23 or 33, Saul?
So I was thinking about this. The problem with 33, like if it was 32... it'd be easy. 33, little baby. I don't know whether I'm going back to having a little baby in my life. Mm. 23, no money. I think I'd still take 23.
23 is mine, yeah.
23.
Yeah.
13.
Especially
you're
if I know
the NFL at 23.
Well, especially if I know now. Right? If I could just
could have bought that $1 million place in Kirkland.
Well, that and just also just man.
Also that.
Don't be a thinker. Just cut it loose.
Yeah, just cut it loose.
Gosh.
Send it.
Just play, kid.
Hey, Brock, faster. Jerks, why are the Kraken being so secretive on Matty Beniers' injury? All NHL teams are. It's just how they are.
Yeah.
Just part
and
of the
All Star break.
But it's just the culture. They won't tell you anything. Sorry.
Upper body injury, lower body injury.
Yeah. Guys missing a foot. They're like, lower body injury. We'll tell you. Non-head injury. Sorry.
When was your peak physical shape?
I'm not answering that question. I'm not there yet.
Prime.
It's coming.
Okay.
It's coming.
TBD.
It's TBD.
No such thing. It's always a work in progress.
Right. Whenever it was, Brock, I was definitely out on a camera doing the Naked Olympics with my best friend.
Justin, when were you in your absolute prime physical?
Ooh, had to be when we were running in college baseball, so 19 probably.
Okay.
When
were you in your prime in terms of what you could consume in a night?
Oh, I mean, changes that much, but
really?
Oh, I would say
you're still in that prime.
No, I mean, I look back at some of the Hall of Fame years that I would consider myself in, right. mid-20s there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, right. I think mine's early 20s.
Yeah, it's like right when I left Funky Monkey, right about that time is when I was like, 20. Man, I'm peaking here.
20, a lot of stamina.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm just like hitting the red.
But not Cuatro de Mayo night.
Not that night. No. I got tricked with some Jell-O shots. Didn't realize what was in there.
The Jell-O shot bandit strikes again, as it does every single time they're brought out.
It's true. Because you can't just eat five in a row. You're like, oh, these are easy to eat. Yeah, they all have a shot or two in them. Yeah. Oh. Well, now I'm sick.
And you threw up on her shoes, right?
Oh, no, it was much worse. Oh. Jerks, which pants pocket do you put your phone in?
Ooh. My right.
Right front?
Right front.
And you're a lefty?
I have a purse.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, Morgo's purse.
Wait, Brock, you right left-handed?
I'm amphibious. You're going to learn
amphibious.
This. I'm all over the map.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Golf, bowling, wiping, eating. Yep. Everything. All over the map.
Wow. What do you brush your teeth with?
Right.
That's weird.
I know. I'm a weirdo.
So you brush with your right, but right with your left?
Yes.
That's bizarre.
You eat with your left?
Both.
Fork? Oh, you go back and forth.
But more right than left? I'm a weirdo.
The idea I am of eating an with absolute my left hand, weirdo. Truly strange. Bugs me out.
Yep.
Strange.
Yeah, I'm strange.
I put my phone in my left front pocket, even though I'm a righty and like hardcore righty because of my hand. But it's a leftover from when I first started carrying a phone. I was still a smoker, and nothing was going to take them out of my right front pocket.
What's your
and so now they've just been there ever since.
Back pocket or front
pocket? Used to be back right, and then now that I'm no longer carrying cigarettes with me all the time, they go front right.
Okay.
Oh. You?
I've wanted to be a front pocket guy for a wallet forever. I just can't.
It's just safer.
I know.
Right? Like, it's harder to pickpocket and stuff. Not that that's like a huge concern of mine coming into the office. Right? It's Dave Ross out there looking to take my wallet.
Justin has no idea what a week with me is going to be like, does he? He has no idea.
Well, you better hope he's engaged by then or he's going to be in trouble.
Sounds like it. By the way, Betsy's dad heard that conversation. He's like, called her the other day. He's like, hey, heard you get married.
Oh, jeez.
That was great.
All right, last one here,
then. He wants to keep his job on the show and keep Rock happy.
More romantic for Valentine's Day. Eating dinner at a nice restaurant or cooking dinner if you got a little skill in the kitchen.
If you have kids, you get mama out of the house.
True. That's an easy one. If you've got kids...
Yes.
Restaurant.
What
if you don't have kids?
Yeah, then you can...
New relationship, right? Yeah. Been in a relationship 7 months.
Yep.
Kitchen?
Yeah, you got that chance.
I can't get past the view of having worked at restaurants for so long on that night and just...
So you want out.
It's all like... Usually it's mostly, you can tell, like new relationships and it's awkward. And
Morris,
like,
right.
As a server, they won't even make eye contact with you. They're all goo-goo, gaga looking at each other and you're just like...
Yeah, please
gross.
Get out of here.
I wish you were in your own kitchen.
That was terrible. Heather and I started dating 21 years ago tomorrow. So Valentine's Day was like 2 weeks later. We're like supposed to go out. We're like, let's do it a couple days later. So we went out like the next night or something. And the restaurant we went to still had like Valentine's Day specials. It was more than you wanted. All right, that's a good answer to the question, Jerk, today. Thank you, everybody. Good questions, don't you think?
Questions.
Yeah, people came through on Twitter last night.
I can't believe you wouldn't want to be 13. Just before you have to start work, school doesn't have that hard yet.
Listen, that is the wrong answer.
Nobody wants to be 13.
Nope. I think you were a bully.
Yeah.
The only people that liked middle school.
You must have been an early puberty guy.
No.
We've been looking at middle schools.
Must have had a mustache at 11.
So who likes middle school? Only kids that were jerks.
Yep.
Bad people enjoyed middle school, and everybody else would have fast-forwarded.
The sentiment.
One of the worst times of my life.
We'll give you everything you need to know next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. I'm just glad Moore didn't add until now to that statement.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it was an interesting day yesterday talking with Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais and Justin Hollander and Cal Raleigh, Teoscar Hernandez. Mariners did a really good job of getting people excited about this season, and even talking to Jerry DePoto, Brock, in the last hour, I think you can hear a lot of that excitement shining through. They are pumped for what they've built. They are excited about the team they have going forward, and because of the situation they're in, they're able to have that conversation with Luis Castillo about not participating in the WBC. And I got to tell you, that is just a huge relief for me. That's been sort of gnawing at me. It's like, I just don't want that guy. And yeah, some of it's the whole Drew Smyly backlash a few years ago when he went and ended up blowing out his arm and never pitching for the Mariners. But this guy's your ace. And I like what Jerry told us about kind of meeting with him and saying, you know, when they gave him the money, this was part of the commitment that he was making back to them.
Yeah, you become a partner at that point. You know, you become much more than just a teammate, much more than an ace. You become a partner in the direction of the program. And I think Jerry went, to further length with us and talking about, hey, he's Felix-esque. He uses spring training to ramp up. He's not one of these guys that, you know, picks the ball up 2 months ago, right, and builds, and by spring training is pretty darn sharp. No, you know, he's at the stage of a career where he knows what works for his body. And to play the whole marathon of a season and to pick up that ball every fifth day, and there was nothing that sounded good about the World Baseball Classic from a timing perspective and having legitimate starts right after Valentine's Day. No, thank you.
Dylan Moore signs a 3-year deal worth about $9 million, so he'll be here. Won't have to deal with arbitration the next 2 years, and it buys out 1 year of free agency. I like that. Good value, and I think he'll see quite a bit of playing time this year at both second and short. He's a guy who can steal some bases, play the outfield if you need him. That's great, and sounds like he has had a little setback, but should be healthy. Raleigh healthy, Murphy healthy, Haggerty healthy, and then some of the pitchers. Jerry gave us an update.
Andrés Muñoz, 2 weeks ago, left his boot. He's in a throwing program and progressing toward the mound, which should take place right about time we get down to Arizona. Paul Sewald has been, he's multiple throwing sessions in now. He should be in a really good place when we get there.
I didn't even realize that he was hurt, so I'm glad to hear that he's in a good place, because I didn't realize there was an issue to begin with.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, you asked me earlier, Brock, what would Bump and Stacy do with this deal that Brady Henderson threw out there? So his suggestion for ESPN.com was 3 years, $90 million, 50 guaranteed for Geno Smith. And in that scenario, Dan Graziano says yes. Geno would say yes to that. So I asked Bump and Stacy. Stacy says yes. If you don't have a young quarterback that you're in love with in the draft, she would do it if she were the Seahawks.
Okay. And Bump?
I haven't heard from Bump yet. He's in the other room. I can go track him down if you need me to.
That's to be determined.
Yeah, TBD on Bump.
Yeah, I just see that in print, and it just is a shocking number. And I know, frankly, this year in some ways was shocking to the Seahawks. But you also have to be nimble enough that, you know, when your talent has a runway, Salk, and they take off, you got to reward them. And while he may not be young as far as age goes and 10 years in this league, he's young in experience. His first time being a starter, and he didn't miss a single snap. He didn't miss a single game. He put up remarkable numbers that absolutely are worthy of a contract like that. February 2nd, I can't bring myself to doing that today. Not, as you've said, ad nauseum, with so many other holes on this roster still to fill.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Get ourselves ready for big Pro Bowl weekend. It's not quite what it used to be. No real game, although all four Seahawks there will be participating in the flag football game. And then they all have some individual competitions. So,
which I think starts today, right?
Is that today?
Yeah, I think I'm not prepared.
Hold on. Let me get myself ready. I mean, yep. I got AT&T Pro-Am to think about today, Brock. I'm not ready for any sort of Pro Bowl.
You're not ready
stuff.
For kick-tack-toe?
I'm not, but hopefully Jason Myers will be. Lightning round, Quandre Diggs. Geno's going to be doing the accuracy competition, and then Tariq Woolen playing dodgeball. Now, I got to make sure that Jordan Spieth stays far away from the edge of that fairway on number 8 this year. I don't want him anywhere near that thing after he needed to be rescued last year.
Yeah, no thank you.
It's everything you need to know.
Hey, I have a question. I know we're going to get back to Jerry DePoto here in about 5 minutes or so, but I got a little Geno question. It made me think, actually, when I was reflecting back to, well, closer to 23 years of age, to the Combine when I was there. Mm. And that was a year that had Tim Couch and Donovan McNabb and Akili Smith and Cade McNown and Dante Culpepper, and about the worst year I could have ever come out of a draft. And those guys were uber talented. And I think I've told you this before. The guy that stirred the drink, right? The one that in that building, it was in the old RCA Dome there in Indy, was Donovan McNabb. I mean, you just saw it. Like, mm-hmm. He had a charisma. He resonated. Guys loved him, right? And I was like, man, I'm kind of curious to watch Geno in this setting at the Pro Bowl, a place that he could have never imagined that he would be. Well, maybe he did, but none of us
did. Nobody else did.
And nobody else there as a fan or as a pundit or anything else imagined necessarily that he would do what he did this year. Do you think he uses these 3-4 days, again, to just kind of make a statement? Like, I belong.
I would think so, yes. I think he's taken this personally, more than some other folks are.
That's right. And not even just like personally, but just I'm going to be Donovan McNabb at the combine, and I'm going to tell Andy Reid, who is the number 2 pick, and I don't care if you boo me when I get drafted. I'm the guy. Yep. And I just kind of resonate in that way.
I would think both him and Humley do a little of that, right? Like, Humley's like, hey, man, people don't think I'm supposed to be here. I'm going to be a free agent eventually, trying to make myself into a starting quarterback. I would think he's another that would try to do absolutely the same thing. Hey, by the way, I heard back from Bump. He says no. Yes.
He says no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's split opinion a little bit there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an enormous chunk of change. You know what? And if the Seahawks had a roster like they did a few years back and they didn't have an entire front seven to really have to revamp and build, it's a different conversation. But those are the facts. That's the world they're living in. They've got a lot of holes. A lot of draft picks, a lot of capital, but they got a lot of holes in their front to fix.
Yeah, I'm with that. 100%. All right. So I told you we've got a little bit different rank today. More will say it is a real ranked, but I've got 14 different groups and names that I'm going to be putting together into a very specific ranked order. So that's coming up at 9:45. Do want to get back to some of what we heard from Jerry DePoto, but also, Brock, I don't know whether you caught this yesterday, but there was one small piece of news from Cal Raleigh that I think nearly blew our mind when we heard it yesterday. Play it for you next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and SeattleSports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
An interesting ranked coming up in 15 minutes here, Brock, as we I've got something in rank order. That's all I can tell you. I've got 14 things in rank order. Maura better be happy. You won't be. Maura will be. I think that's what I was saying. Maura approves?
I approve. Okay, I wonder what Brock's going to think, because he accused you of not liking sports yesterday, and I don't know if this helps your case, but
it's all right.
It's an actual ranking, and I'm very excited.
I don't need
that.
A case. I'm not trying to make a case here. We're just, you know.
Maura, that was off the air. That
was off the air. We're just talking. Oh, no, it wasn't.
I mean, you accused him of not liking sports on air.
Right.
Oh, I did?
So people should know, before I play you this very important sound, people should know that the reason Brock said that is that Lumberg won, our first program director here, asked me that one time. He and I didn't get along very well, and he did ask me that. Over the fact that, like, I didn't want to talk about the NBA or, like, something that was not important at the time. He's like, you even like sports? Like, yeah, but this is stupid. We shouldn't be talking about this. So, yeah, Brock has managed to hold on to that for 13 years and continues to throw back at me at various times. All right. Well, let me play this for you then, Mr. Heward.
Yep.
We were there yesterday and listening to Jerry and Scott and Justin Hollander and people from MLB and, you know, Cal Raleigh is there.
And great food, too, I understand.
Really good food.
Yes.
The food was excellent. And all of a sudden, there was this one little moment that stood out from Cal Raleigh.
I had surgery down in L.A. with Dr. Chen, and... it went great.
Yeah, I bet. So he had surgery with Dr. Chen.
Hold on a second. Why is that name rings a bell?
It may. Perhaps you remember November 8th, 2021, when the Seahawks released a statement from Dr. Steve Chen, who said Russell Wilson sustained severe injuries to the middle finger of his right throwing hand during a game. He had immediate surgery the following day in the form of a repair of a fracture dislocation of his proximal interphalangeal joint and an extensor tendon rupture, mallet finger. Mm. Although this was uncharted territory, I have never in my career seen such a severe injury to the throwing hand of an NFL quarterback. I have also never encountered a player so committed to his post-operative therapy and with so much conviction to return to the same if not better, level of performance as he had pre-injury. Oh. I am absolutely amazed at his progress, so much so that I can now confidently clear him for a full return to play without reservation. Mm. Now, I don't know whether he's going to be releasing a statement on Cal Raleigh, Silent Cal, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that we're not going to get a Mariner release on the big dumper from Steve Shin, the doctor from L.A.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Do his you have was any a, concern that Cal Raleigh's never going to be good again now?
No, absolutely.
Really? Russell Wilson hurt his fingers, never been good again.
Yep, that's his right throwing hand.
Throwing hand.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This was the
Steve
left
Shin
thumb.
Screwed that guy's career up.
This is the left thumb of Justin's bro, and he's going to be fine.
I hope you're right.
I'll text him and just check. You know, I'll just give Cal a message after yesterday's luncheon. I think we're pretty close.
That would be good.
Could you think about moving in together?
You think he was doing 20 hours of rehab, like Russ did?
Geez, I don't know. Seems like Cal probably gets asleep. He just seems to me like a guy who gets asleep probably during media interviews is where he catches up a little bit of a shut eye. Like, maybe I'll catch up here. I don't know, man. You don't see Cal asking the doctor to go put out a statement like that to make sure everybody knows how bad it really was and just how much and how hard he worked to make everything better.
He didn't find out until after the season that he had a torn ligament, broken thumb, and a chipped bone in there.
Yeah. Much worse than we thought.
Let alone.
And why do we know all that? Because he's trying to tell everybody to make himself look good, just like Russ. All right. Anyway, we talked to Jerry DePoto this morning, as we always do on Thursdays, which was great. And we continued to kind of talk through this Jared Kelnick thing, and I wrote about it. You can read it at seattlesports.com. I hope you do, because I went into depth a little bit on why I do think it makes sense what they're doing with Kelnick. Brock, you and I talked earlier about the comps with Trot Nixon, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The other part of it, though, that's in there is all major league teams have a hole somewhere. And that was something Theo Epstein taught me a long time ago.
Do the Astros?
They probably would say so. I don't know where it is necessarily, but they probably would look at it center field. Say they got a little hole there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where it is they look, but they probably replacing Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like they'll probably look at it catcher and say that there's a couple of places where they don't feel necessarily perfect about it. The Yankees are rolling out Aaron Hicks, right? The Braves don't have a left fielder. I mean, like it's not uncommon. And I think the great news is if the Mariners do end up starting Kelnick in left field and it doesn't work, they got options.
Yeah.
They've got Cade Marlowe and Taylor Trammell in-house. Maybe one of those works. They've got Pollock from the right side. And they've got, Cooper Hummel. They also have the dry powder and assets to go trade for a left fielder if they want to go do that.
Yep.
And if it doesn't work for the first 2 months for Jared Kelnick, they've given themselves an opportunity to see if this talented kid, all right, maybe not mega talented, Brock, but certainly talented kid is able
physically
to put it all together.
He is a very physically gifted guy, and there's no debate about that. And Jerry talked about that just athletically. He's at the top of the charts of just about everything they measure.
So if they're able to get him moving in the right direction and unlock him, it's worth the risk of a few months of him maybe not playing all that well before you go out and trade for the guy you want to play left field.
Yep.
So, here's Jerry from this morning on Kelnick's future.
Now, I'm loath to say last chance, but this is his best chance. You know, and last year, and I don't know if we did the best we could do to set Jared up for success a year ago, where, you know, there wasn't a lot of net to catch him if he struggled. And the expectation was, all right, he's been through his struggle in 21, and this is a new year, new Jared will be good. And obviously it was a struggle for him again.
I like a couple things he says there. Not his last chance in major leagues. Not when you have that kind of athleticism. Not when you're a number six pick in a draft.
But it might be his last chance with the Mariners. Because if he is sent down at any point this year, including to start the year, he's out of options.
Yep.
So that sort of turns it into next year boom or bust, which means, you know, you're probably looking at something getting done before then. So I understand what Jerry's saying. I'll disagree with him a little bit.
But this is his best chance.
It is. Before you get there, because I agree with you, I'm not convinced they didn't put stuff around him last year. Unfortunately, Haniger got hurt and Winker didn't play well.
Winker can't play the field.
Right. But I mean, they didn't bet on Jared Kelnick being their everyday left fielder last year.
Correct.
Right. I mean, they wanted him as part of a rotation, but unfortunately, Haniger couldn't stay healthy and Winker couldn't play.
Yep.
Right. I mean, so I think Jerry's being a little hard on himself there. Mm-hmm. I still agree that they are now putting him in his best shot to really succeed by pairing him with A.J. Pollock in left field.
Okay, so ultimately, and we haven't even asked this, and I know we will as we get eyes on him, and we're down there, and we're broadcasting from there, and can you believe it? The Mariners are playing games this month. February is here. Do you think he has his best season as a Mariner this year? And I know you know you love to put me on the spot. And you did the other day with a D lineman. Like, you're taking him at number five. Blah, 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 you know, and you just, and then you love to tweet and say, I love doing this. I love putting him on the spot. So let me flip it around and put you just right on the spot. Do you think Jared Kelenic becomes a contributing, difference making?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
You do.
I do. I mean, you know, it's still possible that he's too young and at some point he's not going to figure this out until 24, 25. I mean, that's not unusual. But I'm going to say that I agree with what Scott said the other day with Wyman and Bob that, I'll bet on I'll put my eggs in his basket. I do believe in Jared Kelenic. I do believe in the talent. We haven't seen it yet. There's no doubt. We've not gotten to see everything that scouts oohed and aahed over, you know, as he was coming up. But I guess I am hopeful that his move to California, kind of getting away from some of the folks in his life and changing things up in that regard, and hope that, you know, the Mariners have found a way to unlock some of these guys and their potential, that Scott's the person who finally helped Nelson Cruz figure it out deep into his career before he finally became the player that he was. I will look at that Trout-Nixon comparison that I wrote about against CLSports.com. And I do think that Kelenic can figure it out. I also think he's hardworking. He's bright. And he wants it. And if he can figure out some of the emotional stuff that goes with it, which should come with age and maturity, then, I'm going to bet on him. I hope it works. I also think if it doesn't, just go out and trade for a left fielder. Like, that's something that should be available for you if it's something you want to go out and get.
Well, there's two other little factors there that set this up for what Jerry said to be his best. Maybe not his last in baseball, but certainly his best chance yet. I think there's two factors. Number one, the lineup around him. That is more solidified than it has ever been. That you have got legitimate talent. You don't have to carry it. You can contribute and just be a part of it and move the line along, number one. What did baseball rank it? The seventh best lineup in baseball. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a part of it. Number two is this shift. It is a guy that can run the way that he can run. Right. And then also, you know, a little bit bigger bases. This game's going to be a little bit more active and he can flat out run. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a physically, I won't debate the fact that he may be one of your most physically gifted players. Just pure athleticism, spark test, combine test, whatever you want to do to measure those things. He's top of the charts. And guys of that athleticism, I think, are going to benefit with some of these rule tweaks that bring that speed to life a little bit more.
And the fact that he has done the other things to help his team win. He's been able to run the bases well. He's been able to play great left field. He's got a good arm. He covers ground. I mean, he's found ways to contribute even when he's not hitting. So, I will keep betting on Jared Kelenic, Brock. I wouldn't bet my house, wouldn't bet my life.
Well, you can't.
But, right? I mean, those things are all gone. That's true.
Your mortgage, your wife, your kids, everything.
But I like their philosophy here. And Justin Hollander, I thought, expressed it very well yesterday with Bump and Stacey.
If you never provide a runway for your internal options to get better, to improve, you'll never be sustainable. You'll never be as good as you think you are.
And then he went on to talk about how that really worked out for them with Cal Raleigh.
This time last year, if I had told you that Cal Raleigh would turn into one of the best catchers in baseball, I think the general sentiment of, you know, the average observer would have said, oh, you need to sign more certainty. You need to bring in someone that will provide, you know, a better, you know, more perfect, more, like, this is, you know, a more certain outcome as the season goes on. We chose not to do that because we wanted to give Cal runway. You know, it started off a little rocky, and then from the time he came back from the minor leagues, he turned into one of the best players in baseball, and that changes our fortune. That changes our franchise forever. We have to find the right balance between adding and also allowing for development.
I'm going to give it a 0.0%. I think it's a physical impossibility.
Totally unnecessary.
Physical impossibility.
I don't see why you need to go there. That's just not very nice.
Who's the Globetrotters and Generals in this case, I guess. Look at that analogy in there, too.
You know, you try to go out on a limb now and again, create a little entertaining content here on the show.
Uh-huh. You did.
And then here we are, weeks later, and sure. I was told it was only going to be 1 week of grief.
You did exactly what you just claimed to have wanted to do.
You sure did.
1 week of grief and has now turned into at least a month, if not more. But I really want to say thank you, because you guys called me out yesterday. You said I was being a little too much, a little too negative, a little too this, a little too that. And so I went home, and through the tears, through the difficulty, right, I did a lot of introspection. And, I thought about two things.
Okay.
One, I wanted to write something positive, which I did yesterday about Jared Kelnick, mm-hmm. SeattleSports.com, and I'm getting killed for it, of course. Thanks. Appreciate that. Can't win. And then, secondly, I thought a little bit about Ranked. I thought about Maura and some of her criticisms. I thought about some of you folks who have been kind enough to leave reviews over at Apple Podcast or whatever. And since people seem to have such an objection to, you know, all of our wonderful
listing,
word association,
whatever you want to say. I was just going to say honorable mentions, but fine. Today, no honorable mentions. A straight Ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Get top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
So yesterday, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland announced the following nominees for the 2023 induction. And there are 14 names on this list. I don't know how many actually get in, and I'm not going to get too stuck in whether, you know, who's rock and roll, because clearly they've opened it up with Public Enemy and others over the course of the last few years. So it's gone beyond hard rock or rock. There's obviously pop and rap and other stuff in there. So I'm going to rank today from 14 up to 1 most deserving of being in the Rock Hall of Fame. Now, this is not necessarily my personal ranking of how much I enjoy their music, but it is how much I believe they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And you, so based out of these 14 artists,
yep,
you have a pretty solid grasp of all the catalogs.
I've got
to do this.
At least somewhat of a grasp.
As you should. They're the, if they're 14,
and if I don't
inductees.
Have much of a grasp, then that should be telling in its own right, yeah. Right? So number 14 for me is Kate Bush. You know, everyone's now heard this song. Made one of the all-time great comebacks of any song in history.
Yeah, it's from like the early 80s.
And then became a huge hit over the past year because it was in Stranger Things. So
this is her fourth time being nominated.
Yeah, I don't know another Kate Bush song. Isn't she a one-hit wonder?
No, she's had a couple. She's huge in the UK.
Well, huge. This isn't the UK Rock Hall of Fame.
And a fun fact about her, David Gilmour from Pink Floyd's the one who discovered her.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
She's exciting. Number 14. Number 13 is The Spinners.
Yeah. Since the 50s.
But not one of the biggest bands of that era. I mean, they're not the Four Tops. They're not the Temptations. All right.
Yeah, I think one or two of the original members are still alive.
Number 13 on that list. Number 12, Sheryl Crow. A couple of hits, had her moments. Do you think of Sheryl Crow as being like her Rock Hall of Famer?
She's won 9 Grammys.
Had her
Grammys
moments.
Mean anything?
She's sold 50 million records. Grammys she's had more than a moment.
Talking about.
She has her own Gibson acoustic guitar model.
I understand. Even these are 14 people nominated. It's not like they don't have any resume.
Even but I know to, Sheryl Crow.
You've got to put them together. Like, you've got to put them in an order.
I think she has a pretty big deal there.
Yeah, I also think she embodies a rock and roll vibe.
All right, you tell me how many of the people ahead of her
big
she
deal.
Should be in front of. Number 11 is Joy Division, New Order.
Who?
New Order, sort of one of those, yeah. Like... Big
behind
time.
Sheryl Crow.
Huh? No, I
behind
don't
know. Sheryl Crow.
They're like one of those.
Get behind her shadow, in fact.
Big time 80s influencers.
I think I've maybe heard that song before.
It's not about.
Oh, they also. Well, New Order did Blue Monday. So right. After the lead singer passed away.
It's just. They're one of those bands that seems to have influenced everybody that came after them and throughout that time period. Yeah. They're not one of my favorites
Morrissey
at all.
Morrissey or The Cure.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know whether you get all of that without Joy Division. So. Look, not necessarily my favorite. I understand your argument, but I think that there's probably a reason that they're on that list. Number 10, Warren Zevon. He's another person on that list as well. I'll bet you he gets in. Even though this is the only song 90% of people can name by Warren Zevon, he's another one of those, like, musicians.
Probably think it's the Kid Rock.
Right. Jeez. Let's hope not.
I got nothing for Warren Zevon.
Okay.
You love Kid Rock.
I got Kid Rock.
I was talking to Saul.
Huh? I do love Kid Rock. I like his message. All right.
Oh, wow.
The biggest debate I had was between number 8 and number 9, and Taylor and Justin were all kind of getting on me on this. You guys might be right. I don't know who should be ahead, but I had Missy at number 9.
Oh, Missy, try to maintain.
I
looked this up for my argument for your, you have her, someone ahead of her, but she's the only female rapper in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and only the third rapper overall.
Wow.
Also, Lauryn Hill.
That's a good one. I'll still take Missy.
Huh. I mean, I love Missy. I think she should be higher than that.
Yeah, I think she, you know, I may have screwed some of this up as I look through this.
Yeah.
I feel like
a lot.
All right. So here's what I would do. Let me make a little change on the fly. I'll go back. Number 9 should be the White Stripes. Okay? Number 9.
Thank you.
The White Stripes. Who I don't love the White Stripes. They're way too stripped down for me. Like, I like a little more production.
Sheryl Crow? Why?
Brock's not going to see
Sheryl Crow. She's just not that big a deal. The White Stripes were influential, changed the way a lot of music sounded on the radio, stripped everything down. You hear them constantly in every arena, Seven Nation Army. Like, White Stripes are a big deal. I originally had them at number 7 on this list.
So you're swapping places there.
Yeah, I'll put
9.
Them number 9, and I will say number 8 should still be Cyndi Lauper. She's singing about number 1, but she's number 8.
And I feel bad because that is not like her. I would say Time After Time, True Colors are probably her better songs.
Those 3 songs are huge.
Massive.
Huge, massive 80s hits. And then she's gone on to be a songwriter, and she wrote Kinky Boots for Broadway. She's really big deal, which is why I had her originally ahead of Missy. But I'll yield to your argument and put Missy now at number 7 on this list.
And she wrote The Goonies are good enough, so that's good.
Number 6 on the road again, is Willie Nelson.
You better get him in there. He's on the road.
He's been in the Country Music Hall of Fame since the 90s.
Right. He probably belongs in.
I think Snoop would like him in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Willie Snoop couldn't hang with him, right?
Willie, no. You could probably
in
also
Amsterdam?
Argue yes. That he embodies more of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame spirit than.
All right. Let me get into the top 5. This is very hard. All 5 of these are huge, huge bands that deserve to be in. Number 5, which might be my favorite on this list, is Tribe Called Quest. Pioneers in this style. God, I love Tribe. So it pains me to only have them at number 5. That's how big the 4 people ahead of them are.
We'll see.
360. This rank is far too structured.
I agree with you.
God, you started saying that F and I got scared.
Number 4. Local favorites, Soundgarden, part of the grunge revolution.
Wow.
I think one of the things that a lot of these groups share is the way they change music and the way they influence people. And so Tribe, you know, with everything that was going on at that time, they embody that sound. Soundgarden's certainly going to be on that list. Sort of the harder edge at first of grunge, and then ended up kind of quieting down a little bit. But Soundgarden's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band. That's just how it is. Number 3, George Michael, formerly of Wham, went on to do Faith and, you know, about Sex or, let's talk about Sex. What's the one he had on that album? The other one that's on Faith.
Yeah.
Father Figure and everything else. George Michael.
Hairless
massive,
Whisper.
Yeah. Massive, massive star. So he'd be number 3.
Oh, you're thinking of I Want Your Sex, yeah.
I Want Your Sex, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Number 2, it's a crying shame that this band has not been inducted into the Hall of Fame just yet. They are part of the new wave of British heavy metal. Iron Maiden. Yeah, Brock, I knew you'd love Number of the Beast. You can get as mad as you want about Iron Maiden. They are gigantic. You brought up international earlier. Go see like their concerts and stuff in South America. They are massive.
You brought up artists
huge.
That wouldn't exist without them?
No one. No
earlier,
one.
Earlier, you just said you didn't care that someone was big in the UK.
Heavy metal doesn't exist without Iron Maiden.
And Judas Priest.
And Judas Priest, who's already in.
Yep.
So let's put Iron Maiden in and stop messing around. And then number 1, there is a list of albums in my life that when I first heard them, I knew nothing would ever be the same again. And one of them was Rage Against the Machine. Also, they're definitely going to get in because Tom Morello's like Mr. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's there every year. He's like a big part of the process.
Yep.
So they're getting in whether you want them to be or not. So most likely, yes, let's put them on the list. There you go. There's a real ranking for you.
Mora? Wow. Mora? What do you think?
Not sure I love the order, but I'm very ecstatic that you took a list and just put it in order. You didn't just name every musician ever. I'm proud. Good job.
Just a kicker, dude.
Just a kicker. Just a kickback. Just a kicker. All right. Well, so if you didn't like that ranked, please tell us because we'll go back to doing it the other way tomorrow. I promise. We will also be in with G. Scott, with Joe Fan,
the People, Pro Bowl.
Lot to chat about. Yeah, Black Sabbath and Zeppelin influenced metal, of course. But you don't get true heavy metal without Iron Maiden. Sorry. Stick around for Bump and Stacy. They're up next. See you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Till then, the hay
is in the barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!